Hey guys, this is Michael.
This is Matt.
And this is Bennett.
And welcome to the Three Guys in Ties podcast. What's up, guys?
Yo, not much. Just hanging again, you know, favorite guest back in action.
Back
multiple times. Am I Tony now? Did I replace him? Do you guys need to tell me something?
No.
No.
Tony's back. We've recorded one with him, but for the sake of continuity, this one's going to come out.
Okay.
And then we're going to start releasing the Tony episodes. Okay. But
I guess that's fine. Whatever.
So
definitely the most. You've been on here the most as a guest.
I mean, have more episodes on your belt than Caleb does.
More episodes than Caleb.
I'll count them up. I'll count them up, but I'm pretty sure. I mean, would you say he has more than Caleb does?
It's got to be close.
I mean, it's tied at the very least. There's no way Caleb has more than you, because he missed one of even the first episodes that we did. That was the first time we had Tony on. It was like episode 4 or 5 because Caleb couldn't record. We need to quit talking about him. Anyway.
Freaking clappy. Okay.
So, guys, this is going to be a somewhat shorter episode than you're used to because I am the crusher of dreams and was late. So
caught up in a meeting and then caught up behind a wreck.
Late to his own party, you know.
I was late to my own house. Yeah. They beat me here by a substantial amount. And then they also wanted to do the donut eating challenge that we talked about today. And I'm the crusher of dreams on that one because I was like, that's not.
Well, Bennett's about to do a percentage weight loss.
Yeah, I'm about to lose a lot of weight, probably like 60 pounds in 3 months.
Yeah, and then we'll put it all back on in one day with the donuts.
Probably.
You can have a cheat day.
Look, with sweets mess with me, where if I'm eating sugary stuff, I like can't, it like messes with my digestion and I like can't lose weight. It just like packs on.
So, yeah, that's like why it's just a cheat day.
So we just put one with a laxative in it.
I don't think that. I don't want to be a part of that.
No.
Laxative. After the contest, I'll down to do it whenever, and then I'll just have a cheat day then. But during the contest, if there's money involved, your boy is
when does the contest,
very driven.
When does the contest start?
I don't think we've decided yet. I'm pretty sure it's going to be at the beginning of January sometime.
Oh, dude, this is like the 13th. We can fit it in before the beginning of January.
Okay. Well,
You're acting like it's starting on the 14th.
Look,
Christmas is next week.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I assumed I wouldn't be back. You know,
we'll have you back next for a Monday? Donut eating. We have 4 mics now, so we're good. We can have.
Oh
a
yeah, we have to get Tony.
Yeah, we do have to get a fourth one in, a 4 person in. I can't speak.
A
I'm
foreman.
Sorry. A foreman.
Foreman.
A foreman. Do you think they? Additionally, it was just places were ran by 4 guys, and they're like, oh, we're going to call them the foreman. And then they just consolidated it down? I don't know.
Because 4 is spelled F-O-R-E and not F-O-U-R. Those foremen.
Yeah, this is before they knew how to spell Bennett. Sorry, not everyone's as smart as you.
I think most people can spell.
Anyway, guys, how's your week been since I last saw you all?
What have I done this?
Dead
when did we last see each other?
Well, I saw you more recently, but the 3 of us saw each other a week ago.
We just worked. And
yeah, I mean, basically just worked. Played a little, some games, watched some TV. I'm rewatching The Witcher because the new season comes out here in like a few days.
On Friday, right? December 17th?
So, yeah.
Nice.
So it's been pretty good. I'm trying to think of anything else I've done. Nothing substantial, that's for sure. What about you, Matt? Or Michael?
Painted, it feels like, my entire house in the last couple days. Just kidding.
You did
it
paint the house.
3 rooms, and Kayla did one of them by herself. But we did paint the room that we're recording in,
okay.
Which is...
New studio.
Surprising. Yeah, we got a new studio. It's not finished yet, but we do have a new studio. So video will be coming a lot sooner than we anticipated. Not like next week or nothing, but video will be coming in the near future. So
no, we should definitely overpromise. I say it's coming next week.
We're recording right now.
Right now, and we're going to have video up even though we don't have any cameras.
If you're listening to this, the audio version, stop it. Yeah. Go to YouTube.
We got it on video now.
No. So we're doing video soon, guys. Like I'm very excited for that. We have to figure out some of the logistical parts of it. The big one being I've never edited a video a day in my life before, so that's going to be something. So we'll have to figure that out.
Yeah, it can't be that hard.
Yeah, it can't be that hard, I guess. But no, this room that we're recording in is a lot bigger than it looks. When it comes to painting, it took us forever. I mean, it took the normal amount of time for painting for me, who's never painted before, and Kayla, who's painted a couple times before. But it was a lot of fun. And then I went snowboarding yesterday for the first time in the season. So
how was that?
I am in so much pain from the painting on Saturday. We painted for...
painting really beat you up, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it was like 16, 17 hours worth of painting on Saturday. Like 9 a.m.
Just wore them out. Till 3 a.m.
Dude, it does. Have you ever painted before?
I painted for an entire summer one summer.
Okay, so think at the beginning of the summer. And how worn out you were because you weren't ready for it. You weren't ready for the body motion of it. So that was the issue going into it.
But that was also the summer going into my freshman year of college when I was probably at my peak athleticism.
So. Yeah, dude, I'm literally at my worst athleticism right now.
You were in shape.
I was in very good shape, and it was not that hard to do.
My man, just like a job you had.
What?
It was like a job.
Yeah, I got paid cash on the side.
No taxes.
Like I think it was like $10 an hour, but that was back when like $10 an hour and East Tennessee was a lot of money. And so I was just getting cash on Friday every single day, working 40 hours a week.
Well, you're going to get 400 cash. You're going to get audited because you didn't pay taxes.
It was for 3 months. So if they want to audit me for 3 months worth of work,
that's $4,800. I'm sure you're supposed to pay some taxes on that.
I mean, you're supposed to pay tax on a lot of things, but you know, there are a lot of rules that you are made to get out of taxes, and I'm sure I can figure out one.
Okay.
You'd have been the guy, like, in Renaissance time, you'd have been the banker guy who's in charge of everybody's money, collecting taxes.
Yeah. The tax collector that everyone hates? Is that what you're calling me? You say you hate me right now?
I mean...
A little bit.
I don't hate you, but you would thrive in the position.
I mean, I would. Finance, you know, I kind of understand it, so...
What would you be, Michael?
In the Renaissance time?
Yeah.
I would have died immediately. No, I'm just kidding. I think I'd be a joust. I think I have the right build for it.
Oh, my gosh.
A jouster?
Not guy. A joust. A jester.
A jester. Okay, that makes more sense. I was like...
The actual joust.
You think you'd be a knight joust?
No. I just
the guy holds.
To be fair, they're very close words, but no. I think I would be... I think I have the right the body type, because every time you see a jester, they're short and skinny, and they jump around.
I can see that.
I could think that'd be me.
I could see that.
They'd probably end up being like a blacksmith or something.
That'd be cool.
I can see it. I think you'd be the chillest blacksmith of all time. You'd
just
be like
hammering stuff.
You'd be like, oh, you want a greatsword? I got you.
How many greatswords you guys need? Oh, 12? I got 13.
Might as well get a baker's dozen while you're at it.
Throw in an extra one if you buy them all now.
Yeah. Oh, God. No. The snowboarding, though, man, that was intense.
I'll just say all the stuff they say in Skyrim. You know, are you looking to protect yourself or deal damage? And just, I think that would be fun.
You really got to be like, I used to be an adventurer like you.
Yeah.
And then I took an arrow to the knee. Because that you remember that meme?
No.
You don't remember that meme? Do you remember that at least?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm not crazy.
My social media presence isn't like...
Did you ever play Skyrim?
Nah. I mean,
they've came out with 15 iterations.
Yeah,
of it.
Have I played it at some point? Yes. Did I play it all the way through ever? No.
Yeah, I didn't.
On any iteration, no.
I will say with Skyrim, I didn't get the most into it. Like, I was more of an Oblivion kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And what kind of got me out of the Elder Scrolls franchise for a while was on Oblivion. That was the first game I know that had DLCs, too, that you could just buy after you bought the game. I know there had to be games before that, but that was the first one
that you played
that I bought DLCs for. And one of the DLCs was this house in some place, and you, same as New World, you just put all your stuff there.
Yeah.
And you just use it for storage. And so, I mean, I was hundreds of hours into this game. I bought this house, put all my stuff into it, booted up my Xbox 360 one day, and the DLC had been deleted, and all of my stuff inside the house got deleted.
Ooh.
And so I was like, I'm not dealing with that. I'm not going to go gather all of that stuff ever again. So then I played ESO, and then I didn't really like ESO after a while. So
yeah,
here we are. Never really got into Skyrim.
I'd sell my sister for enough coin. That's another one they say.
Okay, we looked at. For the people who are listening to audio and not watching on the video that we obviously have up, me and Bennett just gave Matt a weird look for that.
They're like, what is he talking about?
No, but the...
He doesn't have a sister.
The snowboarding...
Anymore.
The snowboarding was pretty chill.
Okay. So on to the next.
Anyway, I want to talk about it. Hold on.
Okay.
It was a lot of fun. It was the first time of the year. They were blowing snow, which you normally don't like, but they're a little bit better at beach with blowing snow. So Got a lot of speed, only ate shit three times. And one of the three times I blame on Dylan, the guy I went with. Shout out Dylan. He got a mug from me, by the way. We gave him the last mug.
Nice.
He listens to every episode.
They said he got mugged with you.
That's what I heard too. And I was
he got mugged by me.
Damn.
He got one of those mugs. But
hiding the storyline, really.
No, I mean, dude, it was like the second or third run we did, and we're coming off the lift, and the hill on the lift was so just tall. And it's a fast lift to begin with. And we just, I mean, it's our first time going. And he gets off the lift. And I fell coming off the lift one time. But he got off the lift. He fell. And his snowboard kind of clipped me. And then I hit the ground very hard. They had to slow the lift down so the people behind us didn't hit us. It was a whole thing. It was great.
Causing issues in the entire
getting mountain. Off the lift, too. That's the one place you mountain. Don't want to, like.
Yeah, mess up.
Like, if you can get that. Everything else, you can just like you can just sit there.
You can pizza. Dude, you know what I'm saying?
The lift, getting off the lift and snowboarding is by far the hardest.
It's intense.
It's the hardest part of snowboarding. Like, it's intense. It's the worst. Me and Dylan, speaking of, I think it was that run. It was that run because we just ate shit and we're about to do it again. We're going down, and he's better than me, so he's a little bit in front of me, and he kind of curves over to avoid somebody, and he slowed down, and I didn't quite catch that he was slowing down. So I'm like right next to him and I go about to blow past him, right? And then he kind of turns and then I have to turn. And I mean, we came within like 5 or 6 inches of slamming into each other on the busiest part of the mountain, going probably like 15, 20 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So that didn't happen, thankfully. And
Some of like my running speed.
Later on that run, we went 6 times, by the way, and all of this happened on this one run.
I do stairs that fast.
Later on this run, dude, I'm taking a turn and I forget how to balance and I completely hit the ground and I laid there and thought about life for a little bit. So that was a snowboarding experience. We should all go sometime. So
I'm not about that. I'm not about anything that's cold, and snow is cold.
I mean, with cold. I just like my exploded my elbow skateboarding.
Yeah, that is a definite possibility while doing it. Yeah,
and on snowboarding you fall, and it's just so instinctual to throw your hands out. I feel like my elbow would just pop again.
Yeah. I told you guys the first time I wore a helmet snowboarding, by chance. This is 2 years ago, I think, the first time I ever wore a helmet doing it.
Yeah.
So you get new confidence when you have a helmet on. You go for years without a helmet, and you know that you don't have a helmet, and you know how hard the ground is because you've fallen before. But then you put a helmet on, and you're like, oh, yeah, like, I'm good.
This helmet protects my entire body.
Yeah, I'm good right now. And so you get – so I'm going down the mountain with this helmet on for the first time, and I'm like, I'm good. I'm going to go as fast as I can. I'm probably going 50 miles an hour. Not really. I don't know how fast I'm going, but faster than I'm normally going. And I hit a patch of ice, and when I hit the ice, I lost it. Like, I just completely lost everything, and I fell backwards, and, like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, I just kind of, like, collapsed over and, like, whipped my head onto the ground. And, like, I had a helmet on, but, like, it's still, dude.
That's how you get concussions.
It knocked the breath out of me. I was with Dylan and Bradley, actually. They were behind me for once. And they see it all happen. Bradley's like, hey, man, are you okay? And I'm like, dude, like, where, like, are we, am I, like, on the slope still? Like, where am I right now? Like, completely forgot, like, kind of my location.
I mean,
for
that's
a
like
second.
People don't realize, like, when you drive a car and get in a wreck, right? It's like, you are moving as fast as the car is. It doesn't feel like you're moving because you're stationary. What are you doing? But if you're going 70 and you run into a brick wall,
you were at
your body
point
is,
going 70.
Your body is still going 70 when the car stops. Dude. And so that is, it's not the, like, you're moving that fast. And so, like, driving cars typically the most dangerous thing you do in your life.
Yeah, it is. So.
That's why I don't run anymore.
Because it's so dangerous.
Yeah.
People are terrified of flying, but they're not terrified of driving a car. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Do you guys have
a fear
of flying?
It's the statistic thing. Statistically, you're more probable. It's way more likely to get in a car wreck, but survivability is a lot higher.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know what the survivability of a car wreck is.
It depends on how fast you're going. If you're going 70.
I mean, just all car wrecks.
Yeah.
You know?
If you're going like 70 plus in a car and you hit something that's stationary.
Yeah.
It's not a very high percentage either. So
it's almost worse. Is it worse if it's like another car driving 60 miles an hour?
It depends. I mean, if it's going the other way, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that compounds the the velocity because one's going the other, one's going one.
I just wonder if it's going lesser than you, if it absorbs more of the force.
You guys want to know, I've always wondered that too. If you like head on collision, like you're both going 45. Is that equivalent to you going 90?
It doesn't solve the problem that you're still going to be going 70 miles an hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, it's not...
I mean, that Henry Ruggs or whatever, mm-hmm. he was going like 160 mm-hmm. and hit somebody.
But I think on with that one, and this is going to sound terrible, but like when you are drunk, your reaction time is slowed. And what typically gets you is your body tenses up when you're going that fast and you see a wreck coming because you can see it coming before it actually happens. Just yeah. one second. So your body tenses up and then you break all your bones in your body because your legs are, you know, straight and you're tensing up ready yeah. for the impact. Where if you're actually more loose, it is actually better for you to be loose.
It's like I'm gonna those. The hangover. Not the hangover.
Due date.
Yeah. Yeah, you knew where I was. Zach Galifianakis is in both and does great in both. But yeah. It's like in the car crash where he is stoned out of his mind and falls asleep. And Bradley Cooper wakes up. Not Bradley Cooper. Robert.
Tony Stark.
Yeah, I'm getting them all mixed up. I'm just making a hodgepodge of the movie.
So the Hulk wakes
Tony Stark.
Up.
Robert Downey Jr. He wakes up and he's like John flipping Goodman's out. He's flipping out, but Zach Galifianakis is asleep and he's like perfectly fine. Like whatever. And then
yeah,
like,
he yeah. wakes up. He's like, what's going on?
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. has to go to the emergency room.
Dude, Zach Galifianakis at one point, Robert Downey Jr. is like calling him out for not being an actor. And he's like, yeah, like, do something. Act. Okay? Your team's down. You're a coach. You got to get him fired back up. He's like, what, Jackson, what are you, a girl or something? Come on, guys. Dadgummit. What are y'all, a bunch of girls or something? Like, he just keeps.
He can't act, yeah.
I say that probably twice a day. What are you, a girl or something?
That is such a good movie. I do have some statistics for you guys.
Come on.
So, 1 in 107 people, as of 2019, 1 in 107 people will die in a car accident.
I kind of don't like those odds.
Yeah, I remember the first time I learned that one, and I always forget.
Of dying every single time you get in a car.
Yeah.
Not
a... do you guys want to guess what the likelihood of dying in a plane crash is?
Probably less than, I would say less than 5%.
We're not going to do, yes, but we're not going to do percentages on this one. We can conceptualize the percentage of...
I can do the percentage if you just give me the number.
1 in every 10,000.
You guys want to guess again, or you want to lock in your
guess?
Just
go ahead.
1 in 11 million is your chance of dying in a plane crash.
Sounds about right.
And what's the percentage of that one, boy?
1 in 11 million?
Yeah.
I mean...
To the decimal.
I mean, 0.10 zeros in a one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
so it'd
guys.
Be... yeah. What, like 100,000th of a percent?
And 6.5 deaths out of 100,000 are on boats. So that actually makes sense to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, more people die from...
drunk boating.
More people die from vending machines falling on top of you than you die in a plane crash in a year, I'm pretty sure.
Oh,
sure
yeah. Dude, more people die in a year from coconuts than they do from sharks. It's like 8 or 9 a year from coconuts.
Can you imagine that's how you go out?
Dude.
Death by fruit.
That'd be terrible.
Not even like an allergic reaction or anything.
No.
Like,
just like you got hit in the head by a heavy object because
yeah.
you fell and you weren't paying attention.
A guava took you out.
Dude, I don't even... like, I would be so mad while dead. Like, I know you probably don't feel the anger when you are dead, but like, I would just be just, you know what?
I mean, that's why you don't do that touristy shit. Like, oh, let's go sit under the tree.
Or you don't steal coconuts from people in the Dominican.
Oh, yeah.
My bad. Tell that story.
I think you've told it before.
Oh, yeah, right.
He offered it, man. You want this? Yeah, I do. Like, all right, cool, thanks. And then I drink it, and he's like, all right, now give me money.
Oh, that was a fun...
I'm like, that's something you preface in America.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. I was about to say that was a fun day, but that was fun for you, Bennett.
Yeah, I caught some fish, and I didn't throw up.
Not us. I threw up, Matt stole, and threw up, so...
I did catch 2 or 3.
I caught one. I did what we came out there to do. I didn't waste Johnny's money by getting me on that boat.
That's the truth.
It was that side, bro. Everyone on that side.
Dude, everyone did. Yeah, because it was me, you, and...
Steven.
Yeah, we're the three who got sick, and we were all sitting on the same side of the boat. I don't know, man.
That sun hitting you back.
That sun was mean down in the Dominican. Oh, God. Mm. Oh, yeah, anyway, so don't drive your cars anymore, guys, or your boats. That's...
While drunk.
Yeah.
Well,
drunk.
Well, no, it sounds safer.
And, okay.
For you,
baby. It's safer for your body.
Yeah.
And if in the event you get in a wreck.
Yeah.
That being said, you're much more likely to get in a wreck.
What if
so.
You had, like, an EpiPen? that instantly made you drunk. And so you're driving and you see a collision about to happen and you just pop that EpiPen really quick.
So it made you drunk?
Yeah. So then you just go limp. I mean, maybe it didn't have to make you drunk. Maybe it's a, you know.
Like muscle relaxer?
Oh, I have
I guess.
I have a good list for us if you guys want to guess on the probabilities of dying certain ways. What do you think the you're most likely to die from in your life?
Probably
old age.
Probably heart failure.
Heart disease, 1 in 6. Do you guys know what the close number second is?
That's more than old age.
Well, I don't think old age is in here.
Okay.
I would say.
I mean, I don't think old age is in here.
I don't think a lot of people make it, do they?
No, well, I mean, if it depends on the
old age isn't in here, so.
Okay. So.
Yeah. Because, like, yeah, because then that's just, you can make that argument. Yeah, they were older. How old were they? 50? Well, that's older than me, so I guess that was them dying of old age. You know, like, I don't know.
One, that's a gray term, and two, it's like, typically, someone older is going to die of a cancer or a heart.
Yeah, and cancer is at 1 in 7, number 2. All preventable causes of death is 1 in 24. I don't actually know what that means. Respiratory disease is pretty high. Suicide is scary high on here. 1 in 88. So check on your friends and family.
Is there like a random one on there? Like,
fall pretty high up there. That one's kind of funny. 1 in 106. I'm sorry, that's not funny, but like,
and that's why I don't get near edges, guys.
Yeah. That's why you don't mess with heights.
Nope. Motorcycle. You're not very likely to die in a motorcycle accident, but I bet it'd be interesting to look at.
What's like mad cow? Cat scratch fever.
Didn't make it.
Rabies.
On the list. Gun assault. This is all. I think this is all U.S. By the way. Yeah, this is all U.S. Gun assault is a lot higher than I thought it was, and at the same time, a lot lower than I thought it was. I don't know which number it is because I don't have it numbered, but 1 in 289 chance of you dying by a gun. Pedestrian incidents, 1 in 543. Choking on food, pretty high up there. How high do you think that one is?
Probably less than whatever you just said.
No, it's 1 in 2535. Well, this is interesting. Now there's a separate category for other gun-related accidents. You are have a 186,000 chance of dying by a dog attack.
See, there now we're getting into
some weird stuff.
You are more likely to die by a hornet, wasp, or bee sting.
Yeah, but like half of America's population is allergic to that.
Are you
shit,
guys so allergic to that?
No.
Thankfully, no, because I'd be dead if I was.
I'm not either.
Yeah.
Sunstroke, 1 in 8,200. Bicyclist, 1 in 3,800. Drowning. That's
like somebody on a bicycle rolls up and kills you.
Probably
drive by bicycle.
By something.
Yeah. No, I imagine that
all these rogue bicycles just killing people.
I imagine we could kind of couple that one with motor vehicle crash, and we get
it's just like choking you out with a chain.
They don't use piano wire. They're more gruesome with the bicycle chain. Oh, piano wire is a scary thing. I hate whenever people get choked out in movies with piano wire because I'm like, that's too much.
I used to be really scared of like tightening strings on like a guitar or violin or anything. Cause like if it snapped, it'd like whip.
Yeah, I don't like hit you in the face. Yeah. Oh my God. You just said violin.
That'll blind me.
So
death by violin is 1 in.
You know, believe it or not, it's not on here. So you did remind me.
It's missing old age and violin.
Yeah.
I don't know how reputable.
Cataclysmic storm. Is 1 in 58,000. I don't know what constitutes as a...
That sounds like a fun... I mean, they're all going to suck.
Yeah, I don't know what constitutes
like
that.
I mean, it's probably like tornado, hurricane.
But lightning is in here separately.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather
one
die
in 38,000.
Than...
1 in 138,000, I'm sorry. But
gout
blizzard,
or something.
Yeah.
I'd rather die by gout.
I wonder what a cataclysmic storm is. Like, I don't know. But,
I bet it's a like tornado, hurricane.
Yeah, something measured on a scale.
Yeah. Blizzard.
Yeah. Bennett, you had a crazy question.
Come on, dude.
Can I tell y'all something that you just made me think of, and then we'll go into the crazy question because it's relevant to what we just talked about, the violin.
Let's hear it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, when an event causes great suffering is what a cataclysm storm is. So, yeah, you're right. So
something that needs a scale.
Yeah. So last week, it was Miranda's birthday. Here's your second shout out. She just texted me and said, thanks for the shout out. Here's your second one. It was her birthday and we went out to, a little Italian restaurant in Jonesboro. So for those of you who listen out of state and don't know what Jonesboro is, it's the oldest town in Tennessee and one of the smallest towns in Tennessee. So it's not, you don't go there to expect like high class. You expect some like folky stuff, like nothing crazy.
Folky is a good word.
I mean, am I wrong?
No.
Hometowny.
Yeah, you expect a fair atmosphere.
Exactly. So you expect to go into a little Italian bistro and be greeted with some good Italian food and good service. So we go there for her birthday, and we go in there, and there's a harp player. Somebody playing the harp.
Love it.
And that led me down a string of thoughts. Like, why? Where in Tennessee? Have you guys ever seen a harp in your day-to-day life?
Yes.
Okay, high class. Matt, have you ever seen a harp in your day-to-day life?
I have seen a harp before in my life, but I don't see a harp daily.
No, not daily. I mean, yeah, absolutely not.
Is that not a weird thing to just see somebody playing?
Because I would never expect to see anyone playing a harp around here.
Exactly. And I'm at this place where the total for mine and Kayla's meal with an appetizer was $25, and this person is playing a harp.
Is that
were they
tip?
Good?
That was before.
Okay. Just making sure.
I don't know.
I need to go find this place. I got a pretty good deal. You know.
I think that was before tip, but yeah. So I'm sitting here thinking, like, why is she playing the harp right now? And she was good. She was good. And then I'm like, where do you even learn to play a harp? And then I also thought, where do you buy a harp? Because I imagine that's something you test out. If you're passionate enough to spend hundreds of dollars, which they're a lot cheaper than you think they would. I thought harps were thousands of dollars. But they're only hundreds of dollars. If you're that passionate to drop hundreds of dollars on a harp, you got to see it in person, right? So where do you go buy a harp?
Probably at a music store.
I've been to Guitar Center. A lot of the stuff that we record
on
is from Guitar Center.
We're in East Tennessee, man. Like you have
exactly.
You have to take that.
You are taking my point to an extreme. We are in East Tennessee. Where do you get a harp? And then the whole learning thing. You know how many strings are on a harp?
113.
Not that many, but quite a few, yes.
It's probably close to a piano.
47 strings are on a harp.
Not half of a piano.
That is crazy that this person...
I mean, a piano has like 82.
Oh, you said they were good at it?
Yeah, they were good. It just led me to a whole string of things. Like, where did you learn?
Dude, $25? I spent like $50 yesterday.
Okay, big money.
No, not that. It's just I need to go to this place that's $25.
Dude,
with
it's
a
not
harpist.
Bad.
With a harpist and an appetizer.
I will say the last time... Well, I think we split the appetizer, to be fair, so I don't think... We did definitely split the appetizer. We
okay. Dude, yeah, always a sales though. Only $25.
Listen, okay.
Okay,
if you divide
it
by seven.
How much better does 25 sound than 28? You know, like, it just sounded better.
Sounds
anyway.
Like $3 that left my pocket that I wasn't expecting to.
Anyway, and you also have to get cheap. I got, like, spaghetti. She got some, I don't remember. She got pasta, too, so it was kind of cheap. The other thing that happened at that restaurant the last time we went there, which was, like, $30 because we got something more expensive. Anyway,
go ahead.
There was a guitar player.
Yeah.
Was it singing? What
was it, a man or a woman playing the harp?
It was a woman.
Seems like that's what it should be, right?
I mean, I don't know.
Like that's
in my
like,
eyes.
I don't think I've seen a harp been played like 3 or 4 times in my life.
Okay, high class.
It's all been women.
Yeah, it's all been women. But dude, I mean, like, that's not
in my reality because I've
I mean,
ever
guys,
seen...
if you're out there, you're a man and you're passionate about being a harpist.
Hell yeah.
I mean, do your thing. Yeah. We'll support you.
In my
we'll
reality,
shout you out, but I think it's typically what
I've never seen.
From my experience, it's a female. That
I've only ever seen one person play the harp, and she was a woman. So,
but you could also
assume,
say you could also say just small sample size. You know what I'm saying? That's another thing.
I mean, yeah, I'm not gonna. Yeah,
grand total is like 5 or 6 that we've seen. Maybe
yeah. I mean, there's probably 5 or 6 in the country.
Nah, it's probably a lot more than
that. That's a very aged.
There's like 350 million people in the country.
It's a very aged instrument. That's all I'm saying. People aren't taking harp lessons. You're not signing your son up or your daughter to take harp lessons.
Yeah, harp is a harp in band?
Probably like orchestra.
Orchestra.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. The last time we were at this place, not the harp situation, they had a live musician who was playing guitar and singing, okay? And he was singing out in like their outdoor patio area. It's like 75, like the day you want to sit outside and like just enjoy your food, enjoy some music. Anyway, so we get to the host, and the host is like, yeah, you want to sit inside or outside? And we've heard this man while we walked up. And we thought it was an open, like a karaoke night. And then we realized, like, oh, he's still going, like, right? But anyway, he was so bad that we were, like, presented with the offer to sit outside in the most beautiful day that Tennessee has ever had. We're like, yeah, we'll sit inside.
Yeah.
I mean, that
I hate sitting outside anyway. I'd probably just...
Dude, bug flies anyway. And bees and stuff.
Cars driving by making loud noises.
Dude, this guy... I mean, I'm sorry. Like, if they paid for this man to perform, like, they got ripped off.
But see, that's the guy that needs to take a harp lesson.
Yeah.
I mean...
Let an instrument be his voice.
Exactly.
Anyway, Bennett, what was your question? I'm sorry. How to Tell My Harp Story.
Oh, man. What a harp story.
I was going to butter it up more. But
let's see.
That's like the third harp story I've heard this week, and we're only on Monday. So,
I mean, I got a couple questions for you, but I think I'm just going to stick with this one. Do you guys think that luck is real or made up? I'm just going to leave it at that and let you guys talk about it.
I think
I might jut in, play a little devil's advocate, you know.
I think luck as like a supernatural force is not real, if that makes sense. Like, oh, I do something nice for someone. I also kind of believe in karma, so that kind of counteracts my whole point that I'm about to make. But I don't really think karma is real at the same time. But anyway, I don't think like you pick up a four-leaf clover and you
real quick, real quick. Yeah. Let me just hit you with that definition of what luck is.
Okay.
So luck. Success or failure apparently brought on by chance rather than through one's own actions.
I think
there's
statistics
a number.
Are real.
For me, there's like, there's a number threshold on luck. So everything has a probability of happening. And if, like, to simplify it, if like 1 in 10 people are going to survive a thing, but 3 people survive the thing, 2 of those people are lucky. 1 of those people
is expected.
To survive. The problem with that is you can't define who was lucky and who was expected to live.
But like, I mean, you take any game of chance, like not like games that have like still skill based to it. Like blackjack, there's still skill to blackjack, so you can't do that. Like just poker, stuff like that, there's still. But like roulette, okay, that's a sole game of chance right there, right? Bennett, if you go to the casino and you hit 3 times in a row, I'm gonna say you're lucky, but No, you just. The statistics worked out in your favor. You're not necessarily like
a lot
just
of people,
a lucky person.
A lot of people take it like game theory when it comes to game theory, which is actually something I'm like love looking at.
Is that like survival of the fittest?
No, game theory it's like statistics dealing with games.
Oh, okay.
That's
cool.
What game theory is, yeah. But basically like what a lot of people, especially like let's say playing the jackpot or what? The jackpot, you know, like where they buy like scratch off tickets, things like that, right? A lot of people will say, oh, I have bought, you know, $100 worth of tickets. It's time for me to win. It's my time to win. But how those games work, after the game has been played once, all of the odds reset. And so let's say that 1 in 10 chance, right, happens, and it's like you have 1 in 10 chance of winning $10 with a scratch off ticket, right? Instead of buying 10 of them the first round to win $10, what they do is they buy 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, and then they lose all of these times. And it's like, yes, statistically, every 10 tickets you buy, you should win once. But when the game restarts, you know,
Your odds are reset.
Yeah, the odds are reset. Yeah. Exactly. And so that's what happens a lot of times. People will play roulette and they don't realize that the odds reset. And so they will say, oh, I've lost a ton of times. Like every single time,
no, it's always 1 in 28.
Every time you spend, whatever. Yeah, every time you spin the roulette, it's the exact same odds.
Yeah, and yeah, just, people don't get that. Have you guys ever bought? Kind of going off the lottery. You guys ever bought like lottery tickets? Like not the Powerball, like the scratch off lottery tickets. You don't strike.
I think I did when I was
lottery
like
tickets
when I turned 18 or something. But.
Yeah, like to say, oh, because you can.
Yes.
I did one. Yeah,
I will say every so often if I have like a dollar or two. In cash, I'm buying something. I'll just be like, oh, give me a $2 scratch. But I don't go out and buy them. But one night, like 5-6 years ago, it was like 1 in the morning, and I had to stop at the gas station to get something. And the guy in front of me was dropping $100 on lottery tickets and not letting me buy what I'm buying. Like he's sitting there and we're like, dude, like you gotta like move. And he's buying $2 jumbo bucks lottery tickets. Mm-hmm. That's a Tennessee special if you guys ever had it. And I mean, dude's dropping cash. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to buy $2 jumbo bucks lottery ticket. Scratch it off right there.
Make it sound like it's Willy Wonka or something.
To be a dick just to do it right in front of the guy. Cause he's been sitting there scratching, not winning anything. And I won $75 off of one. And this guy just dropped $100.
Let's go.
And I don't know if he scratched or won something at the end, but yeah. So that's my, favorite lottery ticket story I have.
But like going back to luck, I think kind of going along with you guys, I think it's real, but not in the like aspect that like most people do. And what I mean by that is, like, a lot of people, like, there are some people who don't believe it's real at all. And they say, hey, you create everything, every opportunity you create.
Can't really create a winning lottery ticket.
Well, I just think about those, like, sports miracles that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, dude, there's no reason that should have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it comes down to, like, I think luck is, like, luck is almost like a supernatural term to me. Like, because even in Harry Potter, for example, okay, they have a luck potion. You take whatever, you know, Harry gets it in the third or fourth movie.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like fiction. I'm like, I'm talking like,
I know, but like, that's what people think of. They think it's like something out that you take or you have or you don't have that just makes you like a
dude,
lucky
person. I got luck rolled on my gloves right now, so on that game, so it's got to be real.
I don't think it's like a supernatural thing. I think you do manifest 99% of the things that happen in your life, but then there are things like the lottery tickets. That, like, yeah, you can't manifest that, but it's not necessarily you're lucky. You just bought it at the right time, so technically you still manifested it. Or you picked the right number for, like, a jumbo, or, like, the ones where they actually draw the numbers. You picked the right number because something in your life happened that made you pick those numbers, and then it just so happened to be that. Sure, you are quote-unquote lucky, but I don't think it's, like, a supernatural thing. I think it's all just statistical and comes down to math and everything, so.
I feel like you can, like, kind of create your own luck if you work hard enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Like
you put yourself in position.
So it's like the person who doesn't believe in luck is I work my butt off and I'm going to be prepared for every situation and when the situation arises that, you know, I need to step up into. Like let's say backup quarterback, right? Say Tom Brady when he got drafted by the Patriots, right?
Yeah.
Like dude was a 6th round pick behind what's his name? Drew I can't remember his name.
Brees.
No, it wasn't Drew Brees. You know who I'm talking about.
I don't know football that
but well. he was like a top quarterback like back in the day. He goes down, gets hurt. Tom Brady steps in and never gives the job back, and is still playing to this day. 25
dominated.
Yeah, 24, 25 years later. So
he just prepared.
Yeah, he was so prepared and ready to go that like you could say it was lucky that he got a shot. But if he ever got his shot, he was going to be ready. But then there are people who are like. That, I mean, I don't know. I know a few people personally, but it's like, I feel like everything they touch is successful. Yeah. And it's like, I know, like, there is some.
Do you think they're just, like, wise? Like,
there's some inherent skill with it. It's not, like, 100% luck. Like, I don't believe anything is 100% luck.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, and this is a bad example, but Donald Trump is, like, you know, he's a super rich dude. Like, love him or hate him. But he has a lot of money, and he has also declared bankruptcy multiple times. And so, like, somebody who has been that successful in the hotel industry has had to declare bankruptcy X amount of times. You know, like, he has chosen some losers as well.
Yeah.
And, like, there are those people, and I'm sure everyone knows them, that every single time they touch something, it just, like, I swear it turns to gold. Like, the King Midas effect, right?
Yeah.
It's like they take over some failing business, and then all of a sudden it's... You know, it's all in the green, and they can't stop making money. So, I think there's some inherent,
yeah,
like...
But is it one of those, too, that they just prepared?
It could be, but, I mean, they're, like... What if you opened a restaurant at the beginning of COVID in California?
It's like, if you do something successful, you now know how to do things successfully.
Yeah.
I think... Well, so, yeah, I mean, there is definitely good and bad times to do stuff, but I don't think luck's the right thing. It just... Again, it's just all... It's all mathematical at that point, you know? The restaurant failing in California at the beginning of COVID was, quote-unquote, bad luck. But COVID happening was good luck for Jeff Bezos, right? And I'm just using that because Amazon blew up during the pandemic. But, like, I'm not saying...
I mean, they were kind of already blown up, but they just they were doing more, yeah?
Yeah. So it's like, it's a weird thing to say. But to go back to the sports thing with, like, people being prepared, everything, like, Michael Jordan, right? I mean, dude... And Kobe Bryant, they just practiced all day. They were masters of their craft. So in these situations that look seemingly impossible, it was just one of those situations where they did a little bit better than they normally do, but it wasn't anything crazy
that they hadn't done.
They didn't practice.
I think
of like a Hail Mary, for instance. It's like a 60, 70-yard bomb, and it's one receiver and three
defensive backs.
Yeah,
like that receiver
two, yeah, a couple
is just,
safeties and a defensive back. It's
how
like
how many catches did he catch every single day of his life, though?
Yeah, they're prepared to catch a ball, but they're all prepared to catch a ball. It's just he's got a 1 in 4 or 5 chance.
Yeah.
Probably less than that. If you go to percentages, probably less than 10% chance that they catch it ever.
Yeah.
Probably a lot less than that, but I'm just trying to give it.
Factoring in hands, you're factoring in the balls that just don't even hit target.
Like, you're factoring in how cold it is, because when you throw the ball, like, you know, heat makes a difference when you throw a football long distances, or any ball long distances, like the wind.
You just deflate them a little bit. I mean,
you could, but that, I mean, all that stuff makes an impact.
Hey, with that, like, deflate thing, were both teams playing with a deflated ball?
No, it was just the Patriots. Because they have their own balls. They take their own take their own balls to the game and everything. It was cold out, right? I think it was really cold out.
I don't know. That was a long time ago.
I don't even watch football.
I don't pay attention that much.
I know that, like,
I had a nice bet on some football yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah.
But it was really cold out, and so, like, apparently it's easier to hold and throw the ball when it's has a little less air in it or something. Yeah, which cold weather does that.
It has more, like, squish.
Yeah, grip.
And so
you can throw a tighter spiral, yeah.
Yeah, Tom Brady and whoever else was involved just...
So just to confirm, where, like, yes or no?
Yeah, I don't think it looks real. I think you manifest it.
I think there's some.
There's a percentage of it that is.
I think there is. I think there's a little.
It's never like the sole thing.
Yes.
No, I think it all comes down to a number, and you just,
like, what if, like, that number has to get drawn. A world-ending disease came out, and there were, you know, 10 people survived.
Well, statistics.
And none of them had anything, like. I mean, they're all going to share some commonalities.
Exactly. And I think it's just, it boils down to, I mean, your number's going to get drawn at some point, you know? Like, there is like 52 trillion or something like that combinations.
But in that situation, are you lucky?
I mean, are you?
Because even if it was,
or,
like,
I mean, but the thing is, you're not taking account, like, luck can be both spectrums. It can be, you can be lucky and you can be unlucky, in my opinion. And, like, again, I don't think it's like all or
anti-luck.
I don't think there's 100% luck. I think it does come to, like, being prepared or unprepared even. But I think there are some, like, things that happen in life that you just can't control.
I will say, like, some people are born into better and worse situations. You know, you have people born in poverty and you have Bill Gates kids, you know, definitely completely just different, right? There's no. You can't even compare. Those two kids couldn't even have a conversation. They're so different from each other, right? But is it luck or is it just a number? And my whole thing with it is, like, a deck of cards. You guys know how many possibilities there is in a deck of cards?
Yeah, tons. 52 factorial.
Trillions. Yeah. If not more than trillions. But at some point, that number's getting drawn. And so everything...
Well, it depends on how you're drawing. I mean, if you draw 1 out of 52, like, and then you don't replace it, yeah. But
well,
if you
I'm
keep
just saying all those combinations, and I'm just saying that as, like, a large spectrum thing. I mean, to be, like, big with it, like, I mean, I believe that the universe is completely infinite. So every possibility of everything is ever always going to happen. And I think it's all just comes down to numbers. It's all just, it'll happen at some point.
So you're saying,
so if, it'll happen.
Yeah. If,
so
if
I don't
there's
know
a 1 in 100 chance that you get something and you're the one who gets it, like,
that sucks. And yeah, I'm going to say
what,
I'm
what
lucky,
if it
that's
happens
an easy
multiple
way
to
times
say to you?
Dude, that's just a number. It happens. I'm going to, saying I'm unlucky or lucky is an easy, just an easy way to put it. But really, it's just a statistic at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to sound like the most cynical person who's ever lived, but, like, it's
okay. So, like,
it just
if,
is. It's a
if
statistic.
We were betting on a coin flip and you were betting heads and I was betting tails and it was tails like 5-6 times in a row.
I mean, that's one in a hundred chance, and that happens.
No, it's way less.
I mean, it's 50% the first time, 25% the second
time. No, that's not how it works. It's 25% the second time.
And then 12.5%, and then you just kind of split it each time.
It goes, the thing is, it's per each one.
Yeah, it's 50% per flip.
But you have to, it's 1/2 up, like, factorial, basically. So it's like as many times.
If we flipped a quarter twice right now, mm-hmm. and the odds of it landing heads, it would be 4th. And the odds of
twice.
The odds of it landing heads 3 times would be 12.5%.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what I was saying. It goes down to about 5 or 6 would be about around 1-ish% of the time. It would be heads all 6 times or tails all 6 times.
6 times is a lot in a row.
It's 1% of the time.
But if that happened, there's no luck involved there?
That's a number, dude. That's happened before. It's just a statistical... I hate that word because I can barely say it. That's the only word that I, the only common word that I really struggle with.
So just because it's statistical, everything is statistical though.
Exactly. So I don't know
if it's, but it's such a low statistic and it happens.
Yeah. Dude, you're the one in 11 million that died in a plane crash. Yeah, sure, you're quote unquote unlucky, but that it was bound to happen at some point. It is a just your number got drawn and you died.
I feel like luck exists to an extent. But it's a combination of like preparation and opportunity.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. And then unluckiness, you could argue on the other side is, you know. But the
opportunity is the big one there.
But then again, so you can't even make that argument with unluckiness because, like, I mean, you have a kid who gets cancer at 3 years old, right? Like, they didn't do something that caused it. It's one thing to say, like, somebody who's been smoking for 50 years has cancer, right? There's a correlation, right? They have lung cancer, been smoking for 50 years. A three-year-old kid has lung cancer and, you know, like... So that's where it just comes down to, you can't really make the argument for preparation for luck because you can't make that argument for unluckiness, right? Did that make sense or did I just go off on a tangent that was
pointless? I think I see what you're saying.
I don't know. If I was that one kid, I would say I was unlucky. I would say that's unlucky.
I know. And
even though the percentage is there, yes, and it's such a low percentage.
It's still, I think it's a low percentage. Like, even if it's an insanely low percentage and it's you, it's still unlucky that it was you of all the opportunities.
In those variations of the words, yes, I mean, okay.
Based on the definition, that's like what
in
it
the
is.
Variation, and like, I don't believe that, because luck to me, saying I believe in luck says I believe in something supernatural that causes people to have good fortune, and I don't. All I'm saying is I will use the word luck if I hit the jackpot. You better believe I'm going to be like, I'm the luckiest person in the world because I hit the freaking jackpot.
I think we're arguing different words right now.
I said from the beginning what I was arguing, to be fair.
I said the definition of luck to start.
And it kind of said, like, the low probability.
Statistical improbability.
Success or failure apparently brought on by chance rather than preparation.
Probs and stats, dude. I took a class, Probs and Stats, took that my freshman year of college, and I always called it Probs and Stats because probability and statistics
is too much. There's a lot going on there.
Too much of a mouthful for me.
That's an up and down.
But I'm just saying, like, I feel like people say, oh, they were born lucky, which to me says you were born like...
Well, no, and that's what I was saying. I don't think it is. I don't think it's 100% a thing. Like, I don't think it's like your entire life you just go through and you had a rabbit's foot and every opportunity fell your way. I think that there are some
four-leaf clovers.
Same thing. Four-leaf clover. Name something Buddha lucky. Belly. Yeah, name something that's lucky, and then you had it all, and then every
that
single opportunity fell to
you. That waves its hand.
Yes, I think there are. Like I said, I think there is a certain element of preparedness, but kind of like what Matt was saying, right? Like, what if the opportunity never comes? What if you're the backup quarterback? What if you're Tom Brady and that quarterback that you're playing behind
just lights out?
I don't know. I'm just kidding.
I would say that's unlucky for him because, no matter how...
And that's where it's like a combination. I think more of the luck, like preparation...
Drew Bledsoe, that's who it is. It just hit me so hard. So
yeah,
I'm not stupid.
On the preparation side isn't really... Like, that's just what you can put into it. Yes. But the opportunity to exercise that preparation, I feel like that part of it is like the wild card.
Yeah.
It is going to get drawn. But it's just, I feel like it's fortunate for you that it was you that got drawn.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the, like, little, I don't think it really matters that much because if you're not prepared, you're going to blow that opportunity. But I feel like there's just this little piece of, like,
exactly
that unaccounted like, for.
If it was a big pie chart, right? Like, it wouldn't be 10%. It'd probably be a lot less than 10%.
Oh, yeah.
But I think there's a sliver in there, and you can say less than 1% even, I could see. But I think there's a sliver that, like, some people, you know, an opportunity arises that wouldn't have for somebody else, and it shoots you into the next thing or whatever.
And I think those happen, and I think luck is... It's like karma. Do you guys believe in karma?
No.
I don't think it's like a straight trade.
Okay.
You know, I do something good for
you. Like you buy someone a burrito and in 10 years somebody's going to buy you a burrito.
Not even that, but more of like, I think when you help somebody, it puts you in a positive headspace.
I agree with that.
So then the next thing that happens to you, you're like, oh.
You view it as a positive instead of a negative.
Exactly.
Good or bad.
Right.
I agree with that. But my whole thing with luck, and I kind of couple those two together, luck and karma, because in my eyes, and I do kind of believe in karma, kind of, because you put it into words. I didn't know why that put it into words for me. Actually, you do something, you're in a good mood, and that just positivity breeds positivity, and negativity does the same thing. But
it could, and like you do that, and you're in a good mood, so then you're nice to somebody.
Yeah, and then they want to do something nice for you.
Well, it's like your headspace.
They just say something like, "Oh, you've been really nice today." Like, and then you're like automatically, boom, that was karma, man. I was nice, and now.
Well, it's like what you said. It's your headspace. If you wake up and you say today's going to be a good day, your brain immediately throughout the entire day is looking for reasons to make it a good day.
Yeah.
Vice versa, if you wake up and like today is going to be terrible,
like I did.
You're literally going to go throughout the day. It's, you know, everything. It's raining. It's like it's like bad things happen every day. Dude, good things happen.
Do you think
every
seasonal
day.
Depression is real?
Yes.
I mean, yes, because I think it's been proven. But
yeah,
like,
that's why I also believe it's real.
But like at the same time, like,
but
I
mean,
don't
like,
know if I've experienced
okay, Toby.
It.
Yeah, to a degree that it's actual. Like, because here's the thing. When it's rainy and gray out, I mean, scientifically, you're not getting as much vitamin D.
Mm. Yeah, and so, vitamin D kind of makes you happy.
Right, but it just overall, it just everything seems kind of gray when it's like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything might seem gray in this room also because the walls are now painted gray, but
yikes.
But, dude, also, it can be super nice out, and you're like, dude, it's hot as balls out here. Like, this sucks. Yeah. You know, like.
That's
and
what I'm saying.
It could be the prettiest day too, and like it's cold, and it's the same thing. It's like, oh, it's
beautiful. Look at the frigid. Ice, yeah, you know, yeah. Everything's glistening.
Yeah, again, that goes. I think it just goes back to like mind state. Like if you're just like, especially talking about seasonal depression, you're like, oh, here comes my seasonal depression. It's like, well, yeah, you're going to be looking for ways.
It's hard
that, like,
for me.
It isn't being applied to you
to think that it can affect somebody to like an extreme,
Yeah. I have,
it's two, like, oh, I can't work today. I got a seasonal depression.
And I have two like, real quick closing thoughts on karma and luck and on, depression and mental illness. Karma and luck. I feel like people just couple those things as like, oh, I got good karma today. So the world's going to be kind to me. And like, it goes back to the mindset, but people think it's almost like a supernatural thing.
Yeah.
And same with luck. I think people think it's like a supernatural thing, and I think those things are not.
I typically don't.
The
when
way
I think
we
of
logic
luck,
it through, I like that for karma. Yeah.
Typically with luck, like you said, I don't think that. I've never thought of that as a supernatural thing, ever.
I've always like heard and like thought of people like who were like, oh, yeah, they're just a lucky person. Like, oh, they're just prepared. It's typically how I look at it. Sure, they
Yeah, but is that like spirits? Like, is that? Or like astrology or whatever? Yeah.
That's a like, whole other.
Does rose quartz make you soothed?
Rose quartz.
You know what I mean? Like, there's.
That is true.
Does this jasper align your chakras? Like, does it fall under that saying?
No, when I think of somebody being lucky, I just like think of like you said. I think it's like a very small percentage of the pie when I think of it. Because when I mostly think of it, I think it's like prepared. It's like, hey, they're just ready no matter what can happen. And then it's like,
I'm okay
oh,
with that.
They've got the opportunity now. They hit the floor running with it. Like, they were good enough to be doing what they're doing now, but the break they got or whatever. Because, I mean, like, and especially when thinking with sports, right? Like, maybe it's just because I played sports, and so I always have to put it, like, in a sports reference. But, like, there are only a set number of positions or, like, roster spots for any given team, right? How many people are good enough to fill those rosters, they just haven't been seen? Or how many people were good enough at one point and then got injured, grizzly injury. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, it's a statistic that, you know, X amount of players
are
going to get hurt.
Another one. Like, that's going to happen, but man.
Some people get injured all the time, too. And
yeah,
some people
it's easier to get injured the second time.
You look
time
at, like, Derrick Rose.
Than it is the first time. But it's the same injury every time. It's just... Well, no, he got a couple different ones, but it's easier to get injured the second time than it is the first time.
I mean, it is, but some people get injured in different ways, and they're hurting different things.
Yeah.
Like, when a pitcher has Tommy John surgery, they never have that surgery again. Like, that fixes that issue, but it's a year and a half that you're out, a year to a year and a half, depending on how hard you...
I didn't know they never had to
they never it fixes that issue. But forever. The thing is, they like...
So why don't everybody just get it preemptively?
Because
then you're
out for a
year
and a half,
and you have to rehab the crap out of your arm because it doesn't work anymore. Yeah.
I just feel like if I sign, like, all my stock is in this pitcher, I'm like, look, dude, we're going to go ahead and get you Tommy Johns. You're going to rest, rehab, work out, all that shit for the first 2 years.
Then we'll get you there.
But then, and then like, you'll be rearing and ready to go.
But then like they, you know, have blisters or something and they're out for a start, or then, you know, they
on their hands they sit out for a blister?
Yeah. I imagine a pitcher would have to, dude.
Bro,
imagine
I think
a blister popping while you're about to.
They're oblique strained, but bro, I feel like
they're oblique strained, or then their hamstring is pulled, or then they have shoulder issues, or their back is cramped, or like they're having back spasms or whatever.
People like, always like talk shit whenever like an athlete sits out for a cramp, but I don't know if people ever had like a cramp and like you can't do anything.
Yeah, you know? Well, I mean, especially when you're playing at that high of a level, even if you're like 80%, you're worse than.
Yeah, no, you're playing everybody. Yeah, that's top tier.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, if you're kind of hurting playing in high school, it's a different
story. Markelle Fultz, whenever he went into the NBA, he like forgot how to shoot. He like couldn't make a free throw. Do you remember this?
Yeah, he had like the mental block.
What happened?
Yeah. Dude, he was like dominating
in college,
and then gets drafted to the Sixers, I think.
Yeah, first overall.
Bro. Just like can't shoot, like his just completely airballing, can't do free, like doesn't even know mechanically how to shoot a free throw.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What is, I mean, like, is that just like performance and anxiety?
Probably.
Or? Yeah, I think there's a lot of things. So baseball, like that happens. There was a
mental block.
Yeah, there was like a world famous second baseman. He played for the Yankees back in like the 90s, and he just like. Couldn't throw the ball to first base. Played second base. Couldn't throw the ball to first base anymore.
Yeah.
Terrific hitter. I think
I remember this.
Chuck Knobloch, I think is his name.
Yeah.
Like 300 career bat. Like a very.
Like would hold on to the ball too long and it would just like bounce across the
like
ground.
Literally.
Or just like throw it into the stands.
It's like in the Sandlot where Smalls runs the ball in. Like that's how bad it is. And so like that's a real thing. I've seen it happen with multiple players where they just like.
And he's warming up before the game, like throwing it back
perfectly.
And forth with a guy.
Yeah, I've seen it happen. I literally had a catcher one time on a travel team who had to like walk the ball back to the pitcher for a game because it just like
he just couldn't throw it,
couldn't do it.
Gosh, I do have a quote that I really like that we kind of touched on a second ago. It's always better to be prepared for an opportunity that you don't have than to have an opportunity and not be prepared. And I think that just ties into luck.
I mean, that's how I live my life. Type 1 versus type 2 error, you know?
Yeah.
Just which one's better, which one's
alpha
worse.
Alpha versus beta. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm not.
Alpha all day.
That's really what type 1, type 2 debate is. Those personality tests, though, I had a management... what was that? Management something class that I just took.
Organizational and behavior management.
That's the one. Thank you. Yeah. Oh! My accounting final. Guess what I made?
An 87.
86.
That was close.
I'm in 86
that lucky?
For that final. Gosh.
I mean, you got it wrong. You had a 1 in 100 chance.
Yeah.
Now, with seasonal depression, if you have like legit mental illness and depression, that's one thing.
That's kind of like what I wanted to say before we got out of here. I think there is a lot of real mental health issues.
Well, yeah, you looked at the suicide statistics.
Yeah, I mean, it's 88. Crazy high. And I feel like in the recent years, there's been a lot that's been done that have gotten people, that have inspired people to get the help that they need. On the flip side of that, I think people need to quit glorifying being depressed and having mental illness. Because you get on, and I'm not saying that they all don't, but like you get on to...
The problem is the ones that do have it,
they're not
hurt
the
by the ones that are like
it's the same problem that you have with like some homeless people who aren't really homeless. Like, you know, you're less likely to give money to a real homeless person because you watched a not real homeless person get into a nice car. Like, that's bad, but you know what I mean? Like, because there's some people who fake
or even when they
people
like
who just go buy
you.
Alcohol or something after the fact. But I think, you know, there's been a lot of good, a lot of resources have been, because I see the suicide hotline so much.
And that's going to our sponsor, BetterHelp.
That's great.
Get some help with BetterHelp.
Yeah. No, if they want to sponsor us after this little rant.
Don't leave your house. Yeah. Get it over the phone. Text, calls, BetterHelp.com.
I think it's great that there's been a lot more resources made available to people. But I think like a lot of people use it for like social clout. And I have a problem with that. And I feel like it's almost obvious sometimes whenever you're like, are you like, you know, like go talk to somebody, not your followers. And then that opens the whole Pandora's box of, well, that's what helps them. But I don't know. I think it is good that we've seen a lot of people get help. And I think suicide rates have gone down recently. Yeah. I might just be pulling that
out
of my
ass. It's been rainy the past couple of days. So if you're sad,
BetterHelp.
Sun's coming.
No,
Better, it is.
Come hang with us here. We'll just hang with us here.
But no, I think, you know, if you do need to talk to somebody, there is resources, and I don't know the suicide hotline number.
I'm not your guy. I'm just not qualified. It's nothing personal.
None of us are qualified professionally. Anyway, that took a turn. Matt.
So anyways, back to all these babies crying about the weather. Get it together.
Anyway, guys, that was it for our episode this week. Thank you to our sponsor, the Nutty Java and the Mall at Johnson City. Go down there and use our promo code SCURVY10 to get 10% off your entire order. You can get anything from food, coffee, pastries, anything. You can get it all there. But again, that is SCURVY10 in the Mall at Johnson City at the Nutty Java. Bennett, thank you for being our special favorite guest again.
Yeah, I know. Basically, next week when I'm here again you can tell me I'm Tony's replacement, okay? You don't have to keep it a secret, okay?
We'll bank on Tony not listening to this far into the episode. But anyway, thank you for being here. We always love having you. Guys, like we said at the beginning of the episode, we are going to implement video in 2022, so we're going to try to do that pretty early, but you know how things happen. Sometimes get hooked up, so we don't want to give you a date yet, but we are going to implement video, and we are going to have a fun donut eating competition soon. And also, we are going to soon be doing our first four-man podcast with me, Matt, Tony, and Bennett. So that'll be a lot of fun. I think
four guys in ties, if you will.
Yes.
Yeah, we should change the name at that point. No, but I think it'll be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to the things in 2022. We should
drop the three guys in ties.
Do what?
Guys in ties.
Guys in
ties. It's like five guys, burgers, and fries.
Yeah, and they don't have five guys working, so
it just kind of rolls.
We could technically.
What do y'all think about Santa? Real, fake?
I mean, realist.
We'll have to get into it later.
He's the realest of them all. We'll get into it next week. Anyway, but guys, thank you all so much. We love you.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.